You're listening to Dine to Learn More with Trevor and Laura. Dine to Learn More is where we talk about death and bereavement to deepen our understanding of this inevitable part of life.
This is the Dying to Learn More podcast. I'm Trevor Josephson.
And I'm Laura Salamian. We are doing part three today with our guest Brian and our coworker Lee. If you haven't heard part one and two, we highly encourage you to take a listen.
Because Brian has been sharing his amazing story with us through these three parts of this interview and discussion. And, Brian, I just want to note that you just celebrated a birthday.
Yes, I turned 68 years old.
Yeah, congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Thank you.
And you had started in part one about explaining how you received the diagnosis on your birthday a year ago.
1 year ago.
Right.
And literally.
And on a birthday, we get lots of gifts, lots of surprises, but I don't think that was the kind of surprise you were expecting.
No, it was absolutely devastating.
Right.
You know, what a present. You know, turned 67 and you've got cancer.
Yeah, and you've got weeks.
Weeks to live.
Yeah. That's incredible just to think about that one would receive that kind of information on their birthday of all days.
Of all days, yeah.
Yeah. But it's a year later, and you are still here, and you're sharing this amazing story with us, and the previous part that we talked with you, you described how you went into the hospice here for 7 months.
Yes, I spent 7 months healing, not dying.
And then they kicked you out.
And then they kicked me out because I... Because I actually was given the opportunity to do more immunotherapy,
mm-hmm.
and that was a good news scenario that I got a chance to fight the cancer, the good fight.
That's wonderful.
And I even have an opportunity to take another form of cancer fighting drug once this course of medicine is done its trick.
That's really good news.
It is good news, you know, and it's an opportunity to be here and be more and do more and create some memories be useful, you know, and that's what I want to do. I want to, you know, carry on.
There was a lot of aspects of healing that you were referring to during your time in the hospice residence. Now, I'm obviously there's some physical healing, medical based type of healing, but more what really appealed to me was the emotional healing, the spiritual healing that you experienced while in the hospice.
It wasn't like I had seen God. But what I began to believe was there is, and it's not luck. I believe it's the power of positive, the control that your mind has over your body, your situation, your the way the your surroundings reflect back to you. You can view things a number of different ways, but through the power of positive thinking, I think you gain so much more. You get an insight. You get an opportunity to grow in a direction that you never even thought was possible. That may appear silly to other people, but like hugging a tree or you know, spending time with your dog. I mean, it's living in the moment, living in the now, not letting the past eat you alive, not letting a poor prognosis of something, you know, that'll bring you down. You've got to rise above it.
Mm-hmm.
So you've left hospice. You're home now?
Yeah, I'm home. I've been home for 5 weeks.
Okay. And What are you most grateful for?
I'm telling you, I set short-term goals. It was Christmas, New Year's, and my birthday. I've accomplished those goals. I'm totally happy with that. I'm moving forward with my hobbies, and I'm going to just try to get healthier, get stronger, work with my weights and springs, and do some resistance exercises, and just try to get strong again, get back what I've lost. I've lost weight. I'm going to try and get back some of that, and be a bigger person, be a better person with my wife and my son, and don't forget to tell them that I love them, and regularly tell them, not just once a day or in passing. Just, you know, mean it, and be there, and hug them and hold them, and tell them that, you know, how grateful you are to have them in your lives and in your life, and that means a lot. It's that power that scenario gives you. It's all good stuff.
Yeah, you took some positive, a lot of positive energy from that experience.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, some people would say, how can you be positive when you're in a hospice dying?
Well, the people around you, they don't wish you to die. They're not. They don't. They're accepting the situation for what it is, and they know what you're going through, but they don't have to accept it either. It's not something that you know. They would probably wish that everybody that came through the door got better and left, and didn't pass away. You know, they would, you know, and not devastate these families and not leave them, you know, in a situation where they're upset and struggling with what to do next.
Mm-hmm. I find it interesting to compare. In our the first one that we recorded, we spoke about you getting your diagnosis and knowing you have this very short time to live, and you talked a lot about, hey, I have these plans and I want to do this. You're very future thinking. And now it's like your mindset has switched, and you're just very, today, this is what my, right now. And not to say you don't have goals for the future, but you're keeping it in a very right now.
I want to be able, this is part of accomplishing the day-to-day operation of what I consider my life. You take charge of what you're doing. And if you don't set a goal and achieve it, then you're losing that little bit of accomplishment. It doesn't have to be a big project. It doesn't have to be something massive like paint the house or, you know, reseed the lawn or something, you know, really wacky, you know, do a mural. I mean, go work on a puzzle. Go put 20 pieces in a puzzle. Go and repair a light or glue something together, or, you know, fix something that you've thrown in a corner, or dig out a box of old photos and put them in a photo album. You know, and take the time and remember who you are and remember what you've done and what you still could do. And you'll move forward and not stay in one place.
Great advice. I think we should all take that advice, you know, to really appreciate the things that we label as being small. You know, finding purpose and meaning.
Finding purpose and meaning in everything. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And in your enjoyments. Like, if you love doing puzzles, do them.
Absolutely.
You can find a different thing, mm-hmm, that might be more related to your own life and likes.
Well, you know? Just for an example, for birthday presents, I got four puzzles. I got two puzzles that are 300 pieces each, and one that's 550. And I'm like, yikes! What am I? I hope I can finish that one. If I do, I'll frame it because I ain't gonna do it twice. Might do it once. That'll be it. I'm gonna frame it and glue it or do something with it. I'm not putting it back in the box. But there you go. Like all I had to do was say one little thing, and now I'm, you know, buried in puzzles. But and I found one that I got a year ago, and then I found another one that I got a couple of years ago. So I mean, it's almost like I thought of something, and then boom, I'm just covered with them. Now I got like five puzzles to do, and I just to warm up, I did 125 pieces over the other day. Just a little cat picture, the size of a sheet of loose leaf, and just to warm up to get back in the swing of puzzling. And now I know what I'm going to do this week. I'm going to pull up one of those boxes out and do a puzzle. And
that's great.
You know, I mean, it's the satisfaction of completing something. I want to complete something. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the power of the positive right there in itself. I don't want to, you know, I'd love to go and sit in the park and watch people. I'd like to go down to the beach and see the sunset, but the weather is not allowing us to do that right now, and it'd be pretty hard to find a sunset in this today and some of these days. Mm-hmm. But you know, I'm watching for them. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm waiting for it. I'm waiting for that sunset. It's going to come back, and I'm going to be there for it.
So you're very positive thinking, but I think a question I have is: has there been anything since you've left hospice that is challenging, is hard?
It has been. I haven't been home for almost 300 days. And when I walked into the house December 2nd, got up and looked around and realized that this is my home. This is where I've been living my life. And I see it all in a whole new way. I see all this, it's all new to me. I see the flaws, I see the little things. I want to fix them, I want to change things. I want to leave something behind in that sense. I don't want to leave a bunch of loose ends, a bunch of woulda, coulda, shoulda. I don't want to be I'm going to be the guy that has done, will do. You know, and I think that's the motivating factor that brought me here to this point, at this point now, today, is what's got me here, to just, I will do, I will accomplish, I will move forward.
So you're speaking in terms of a change
that's taken place, yeah. just in the 5 weeks that I've been home. Mm. Every day I wake up and I'm thinking as strongly as possible of what this day will bring to me. As mundane as going for a blood test, well, at least I still got that done. Mm-hmm. You know, I did something. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's silly, but it's still something that got done. Mm-hmm. Right, looking for tools to continue my hobby. I was looking in the garage. I was up at 2 o'clock this morning looking for a file that I know it's there, but I can't find it. And now it's driving me crazy. But I haven't been home for a year, and I don't know what I did with it. So now I gotta, you know, either go buy a new file or a pair of pliers or something, and you know. But there I was, you know, it wasn't like I was worried about it. It's just that I find that little bit of time looking for it was valuable. And if I found it, I would have felt, okay, now I can move forward. I can move forward from this point. Now I can do this.
Right.
Yeah. It motivates me. Constant motivation is what I strive for.
Do you have to still balance that though with your energy levels?
Well, I wear myself out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. I know I'm probably being a little bit cruel to myself. I'm not, you know, sleeping as much as I probably should. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to sleep hours and hours and hours. I don't. The time, the daylight is too valuable to me now. I put too much emphasis on being awake. I would rather go with 2 hours sleep and enjoy an entire day than 10 hours of sleep and miss the whole day.
Right.
I feel very strongly about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Your focus is on living.
Living, absolutely, you know, absolutely.
Well, you were faced with death.
I was, absolutely, and it's scary. It's horribly scary. And I'm not scared now. I'm not scared when that day comes. I don't think I'm going to be that fearful person that was worried about what's going to happen next. I think I've managed to cross that bridge in my mind already, and I'll be okay. I know I'll still have some of the same old fear and whatnot, and I'm not going to let them drug me. I'm not going to let them take away that last little bit. If I have to, I'll choose when I go. If things come to that, I'll make the choice. If not, then I'm not going to let them dope me up. That's not going to happen.
So the fears that you had before, they're not there like
they're not
before. So no. What is it that's, why has that changed for you? You think?
I think from the a little bit of the spiritual point of view. Of the whole experience, the fact that other people have come into my life and offered of a spiritual assessment, like some people believe in this and others believe in that, and I've had scripture quoted to me over the phone by friends. And I never stop them. I let them, you know, say what they want to say because I'm validating them. They've spent their life believing in certain things, and whether or not they come to pass or came to pass or actually took place, that's their belief. And if I want to believe, I will. But I don't want to disagree. I don't want to find disagreement in anything that I hear anymore. Mm-hmm. I want to see the substance and validate the value of what they're saying.
Because mm-hmm. it's true to them.
Absolutely.
Just as you have a truth.
Truth to myself. Yes, absolutely.
And them saying it to you, it might not be the words for you, but it's their way of saying I care about you.
And, yeah, exactly. You know, they wouldn't say scripture. They wouldn't offer me the story of Lazarus and tell me about that. And if it didn't mean something to them, if it didn't possess a value of a possibility, a miracle,
mm-hmm.
a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I mean, your experience, as Laura alluded to here, you were pushed up to the edge, and you looked over into the, you know, the unknown or the,
absolutely.
You were right there.
I was there.
People could say that.
I was told that on two separate occasions I was dying for no reason.
Mm.
The nurses came in and they found me in some kind of distress, and they worked on me. They didn't let me go. Mm. They said that you were dying, but for no reason. We couldn't find a reason why. And I woke up the next day and they said I was bouncing around and perky and happy and rolling around with my walker and having a great old time and drinking coffee and eating pudding and porridge and, you know, having all kinds of fun.
So
you know, and I'm at a hospice and I'm having fun. Now, what's going on here, you know?
Well,
bouncing from table to table and talking about flowers and putting batteries in candles and bugging the girls on the counter and, you know, I mean, it was people are looking at me like, you know, you're crazy. You know, what's going on here?
Right. Yeah. It's a unique perspective that very, very few people have an opportunity to talk about.
Well, I believe that the hospice experience needs to be offered to people sooner rather than the last few days or maybe weeks of their life. I think that they need to go there and realize just what a couple of months may be like in the sanctuary that it is, that what it could be, and settle with yourself and your family and the opportunity to speak to people and the opportunity to see the counselors and hear what they have to say and it's a tough word to use, but enjoy what the last parts of your life are. Because at the end of the day, you know, all you got is family and love. And that's where it's a good place to nurture that. It's a good place to be because that's what you're surrounded with.
Mm. That's powerful. You know, I wonder, people are going to hear your words and they're going to feel so much inspiration from what you're sharing with us here today. Is there anything else that you want to share with people who might be listening to this and wondering, well, I don't know what a hospice is all about. I certainly don't want to go anywhere near a hospice. And anything else you want to say here?
Well, I don't think that they need to fear that the opportunity to get out of the situation that they're in, the actual opportunity to go there. I felt it became a blessing and not a curse. Mm-hmm. It did. It became an opportunity to live. It gave me an opportunity to see people. It gave me an opportunity to talk and be somebody again, you know, because it was all taken away in a few short hours. Everything was taken away from me. You know, I'm not saying it was easy. It wasn't easy. You know, it wasn't without the help of a lot of really good people too, mm-hmm. that know what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. And it's there. It's there for the taking. It's there for you to enjoy. And you can enjoy it. It can be something you can enjoy because it'll help you.
Wow. Thank you so much for saying that, Brian. That's wonderful to hear those words. And I'm sure that others out there listening to this podcast might have a very different perspective now of hospice and the hospice experience, thanks to you sharing your story.
I hope they do have a better outlook. I would not for one moment poo-poo the idea of spending time in a hospice. Mm-hmm. It's exactly what you need if you're facing, you know, end of life care. You need to get into the hospice, find some place that's comfortable, and get in there and relax and enjoy the last little bit. And don't be a burden on your family. Be a blessing. Be that powerful person that helps them move forward in life, because they're still here and you may end up leaving. But they need to hear from you those words that you love them, and they need to hear that it's okay, that, you know, they care. They need their moment to reconcile with you. They need that time, and it may take a little extra time, but take the opportunity and go with it, because it'll be a blessing.
Mm. Thank you so much, Brian. And thank you for being a blessing for us here today.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity to talk. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for being open to learning more about death and grief. Stay tuned for more episodes by following us on Instagram or Facebook.